Hello, I'm Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Today on Personally Speaking, I'll be joined by Australian actor, singer, and music theater performer, Stephen May. Please stay with us. Personally speaking, I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and Australian actor and singer Stephen May joins me now. Stephen graduated from the Western Academy of Performing Arts in 2006 with a Bachelor of Arts in Musical Theater. His theater credits include the Australian tours of Miss Saigon and Mamma Mia, the Australian and Singapore tours of Grease, playing the role of Kinnicky, and he originated the role of Bob Gaudio in the Australian production of Jersey Boys. Stephen has his own video series on YouTube titled That Show with May, where he interviews professionals in the arts industry. He lives in Melbourne, and we're happy to be able to speak with him from his home in Australia. He's here with us today to talk about his life, his career, and the values that matter the most to him. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking the talented Australian tenor, Stephen May. Stephen, thanks for coming on our show. Stephen, the last name, could you tell us the origin? Is it Irish? Is it English? Are you a secret Italian? Tell us about your last name.
Look, as far back as I can go within our family sort of history, we're very, very Australian, but there's a couple of different places where it possibly could come from. New Zealand, again, there's a very strong Maori culture with Mahi. There's a famous author, Margaret Mahi.
Right.
And they say it differently, but in the French, it's Mahi, which is even a little bit different there again. I'm very, very Australian. We came off a boat somewhere, but definitely, I think it's just something that someone picked up along the way.
Now, how is it, though, that every Australian actor that we get to see in movies and television and Broadway speaks with an American accent? Like, you guys have us licked. You know how we sound. You can do an American accent, can't you?
Yeah, I think growing up with all the different movies and hearing it all the time, and especially the musicals that come from, from America, the ones that I've certainly done are all American. So anything from, Bob Gaudio from the New Jersey, to sort of broader, New York. And I think it's just something that we have to innately tune into. There's some of my favorite television series are, Sopranos. I've just started to watch or finish almost Succession, which is on HBO. And it was
right.
There's, an Australian actor there, Sarah Snook, who you wouldn't know. Like, you wouldn't know that if she was Australian or not. It's wonderful. Yeah.
I'm shocked that you're not from New Jersey originally, Now, let me ask you this. Stephen, the family of origin for you, the family that made you, informed you, and shaped you, your mom and dad, in raising you, Stephen, what did they do right?
Oh, they gave me a life, I guess, didn't they? They supported me. I had a very loving family. We're very tight. I've got lots of sisters. And we are my mum has very much mothered me as a young boy. And I remember being a little mummy's boy. And by about 12 or 13, I pushed everyone away and said, no, like I want to be independent. And I was my own child. I think that's the stubbornness that sort of led me to my career in being a performer or being a part of the arts, because I wouldn't take no for an answer. It was like, no, you can't tell me that I can't do this.
Right.
But they gave me the opportunity. We're not a wealthy family, but they gave me every opportunity to play. I grew up playing t-ball and baseball, and I played rugby union. I went to school. Mm-hmm. I had clothes on my back, a beautiful family. I think it was just giving that motion to sort of be able to be who I wanted to be. And they let me make mistakes and didn't really punish me too much.
I'm sure you didn't deserve it too. Stephen May, one of the things that I was struck by, about your background is that you're a multi-talented guy. You sing, you dance, you act. Is there a particular dimension of the arts that is a favorite for you? Is it straight acting? Is it singing? Is it dancing? What's your passion?
Yeah. At the moment it's acting. I've really found this year have been very challenging singing wise because of just the restrictions, and it was a really interesting turn of events. I love singing and I love the feeling of music. I don't think I could ever escape that. But I'm really looking into more film at the moment, or TV and straight acting, in the sense of finding, I think I found myself a bit more, and I'm a bit more honest of who I actually am. Mm-hmm. You know, turning 38 this year, and I was like, yeah, like, I'm more comfortable in my own skin, and that comes across when you're acting. And I think if you find that sort of, you know, a wall up or a big a mask, you can't really, the camera really picks that up and really shows that you're trying really hard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the arts are just, you know, that's where I am and what I do. It's hard to define which one is the most amazing thing. But I think, yeah, for me right now, it's finding that truth within myself as an actor.
Now, if anyone goes online to look Stephen up, they'll find that he has a great profile in terms of lots of different kinds of work that he's done. But like every actor, Stephen, I'm presuming that you have sometimes gone out for a part that you would have been perfect for, and amazingly, you didn't get it. How does Stephen deal with rejection and disappointment?
Yeah, and I've had a few, and not in a bad way. It's just that's just life. I don't fit the puzzle. I'm quite resilient as a person in the ups and the downs. And I think, yes, I get affected, and I sort of look at who got cast, and there's a little bit of your ego going, you know, oh, fine. But you just have to get on with it. I think if I let that weigh me down, I wouldn't, like, I'd never get anywhere. You know, even if you don't, when you're meeting someone and if you don't rub up the right way, or not everybody's going to love you and not everybody's going to like you.
Right.
And I don't take it personally in the sense that I couldn't do it. I know when I've done a great audition and go, well, that's the best I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not right for a number of reasons, well, that's out of my control.
Yeah.
I think early on in my career, I went to university and I got into a show straight away. So I had a very, you know, great way to propel into the industry. Yeah. Right? You know, I was understudying lead roles and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And the first time I stopped working after about 5 years, it was really when I went, oh, okay, like, this is the industry. It's not all just role after role or tour after tour. And I think that gives you the resilience of being away from home and having that understanding that there will be a downtime, and that's the time to start learning and to understand who you are.
Yeah,
and I think everyone at the moment, you know, 2020 is that you can either turn inwards and really deal with your issues, which don't have to be, you know, deep depressing issues. They could just be, no, how are you going to make yourself stronger or smarter for the next chapter or the next week?
Sure. Stephen has mentioned that he's a grand old man of 38, and I want to kill him for that because I would kill to go back to 38. But having said that, Stephen is also not just an actor, but he's also a model. A lot of what you're involved with, acting and modeling, has to do with the look. And you know, and I know, that we live in a world that celebrates youth, the youth culture. Have you given your head or your thought process any time with the idea of how comfortable or challenged are you by the regular process we all go through of aging?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm excited to get older because I feel like the older I get, the better I am.
Okay.
I don't know that's something. You know, of course, I have to work a bit harder about my body and keeping in shape. Yeah. You know, I think over the last sort of 18 months, I was like, oh, I need to warm up a little bit more before I just dive into picking up, you know, the kettlebell or going for a run, and the body, you know, the hips get a bit tighter. And I am quite vain in, you know, I'm a Leo. I'm very proud of my hair. I love my hair, and I've got a full set of hair. So thank you to my grandfather for that. You know, like I haven't really gone down, you know, sort of any Botox or, you know, fixing my face in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially looking at, you know, women with makeup, I just don't, it's not my cup of tea. I understand why some people like makeup and they like painting their face. It makes them feel better. Great. But I love, especially with my partner, like she hasn't worn makeup for such a long time because of COVID and we're being indoors. And it's like her beautiful skin, her beautiful face. My sisters don't wear makeup a lot, so maybe that has to do with it, that I've never really seen it.
Yeah.
I like natural beauty, and I like curves, or I like tight body or whatever it is. But I just think, yeah, it's finding, if you're comfortable in your own skin, which some days I'm not, some days right. I go, oh, That's what you look like today, great. You know, like I feel a bit better when I've had a bit more sun, but at the moment it's, you know, I've been locked indoors and we're just coming into spring. So this hasn't been summer. So in that way, I love a bit of a sun-kissed look, but yeah. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. With a long-winded answer to yes, I'm okay with aging.
Stephen, what is the, I can tell you about it in America, but what's the impact of this pandemic, of the whole COVID lockdown in Australia? What has it been like?
Yeah, I think when the first time it hit, we've never, like, I don't think the world has ever experienced something like this. It was kind of like, oh, everything will be fine. We'll get back to normal, like relatively soon. You know, compared to the rest of the world, our numbers are really, really low. I think we've only had 800 deaths in its entirety this year, which is, you know, everyone looks at Australia and goes, wow, like, you know, that's quite small.
Right.
What's happening at the moment is that Victoria, where I am, is in a stage 4 lockdown. So everybody has to be at home. There's a curfew, which is most strangest feeling that you can't be outside at night. But the rest of the country are kind of, you know, WA, which is 5.5 hour flight from where I am. Mm-hmm. They haven't had any cases for months. And so their life is back to normal. Like they're just moving. So it's had a huge effect on our economy. There's different, there's a lot of things that will affect. The arts industry it's not dead. It's starting to come back. Our first show in Sydney will open up in, I think, next month or November. Pippin is opening.
Okay.
At the Lyric Theatre. And so that's a great sign to see that, okay, how are we going to maneuver ourselves in this socially distanced world?
Right.
Having 50% capacity. I think one of our theatre companies, Sydney Theatre Company, is coming back. So it's affected a lot of people. I mean, the emotional roller coaster that everyone's gone on, and it's a sign of grief and anger and, you know, the cherishing the moments. Mm-hmm. For me, it's time to get back into I haven't seen my family and friends for, you know, for a good year, almost a year. And that's a lot.
Right. Stephen, I hope you're right that not just in Australia, but for us too, because the arts right now, certainly in New York, are seemingly dead for the immediate future. But I want to follow up on, you just mentioned Pippin, which of course is a creation of Stephen Schwartz. I know you've had interplay with him. We were happy enough to have him in our studio and be a guest. But one of the questions I asked Stephen when he was with us was, Stephen, you did Pippin and Wicked, everybody knows those, but your first musical, oddly enough, was Godspell, and yet you identify as a secular Jewish man. So I'm wondering why your first musical would be about Jesus when you're Jewish. And he said, you don't have to be Christian to know the world would be in much better shape if we actually lived by the teachings of Jesus, which was a good answer. But that's my segue into saying you can't expect, Stephen, that you're going to be interviewed by a Catholic priest and he's not going to ask you, what's your own spiritual upbringing? Where were you from in terms of coming from someplace spiritual? Is there a particular church or religion or upbringing for you and your family? Tell us about your spiritual life.
Yeah, I didn't sort of really connect with the spiritual life until a lot later. My immediate family, mum and dad, we went to Sunday school, which was kind of, where you would sit and we'd read scriptures and we'd have it at school. And it was once a day, once a week where we'd do read passages from the Bible and things like that. But it was never really something that we engaged in. I engaged in a lot of sports and a lot of areas that way.
Right.
But it wasn't until sort of, my mid-20s where I kind of in a spiritual sense was going, what is that? What is that feeling of the universe? Or what is that feeling of something that I connect to? And, you know, I think the modern world calls it, you know, peace, you know, meditating and well-being and that health. It's not that I've never not believed in a God or had a specific person that I've gone, I certainly have, you know, looked up and gone, come on, just help me out here. Or, you know, why is my family going through that? Or why are you taking my grandmother? And I'm speaking to somebody, obviously, but it's never been a conscious thought to think about religion in a way.
Right.
I have certainly been confronted with certain religions and why are we confronted with so much anger and anguish and why do we knock heads? If we do all innately have that feeling of there is a greater power or a greater sense of we're just this small And so why are you making us do this?
Yeah.
Or why are you taking our loved ones away from us in such a dramatic way, with illness or with unexpected death?
Yeah.
But they're the teachings, I guess, that we have to learn.
Right.
So, I don't follow a religions per se, but I certainly do feel a connection to a universe and a spiritual essence of being aligned with myself and what that greater power is. I just trust.
Yes. Okay. And you touched on there the sadness of people's spiritual lives or religion sometimes being a source of division or violence. And you're right. If we're all in this together in terms of believing in this higher power, who is the author of life, then we probably should be kind to each other and mutually respectful. By the way, when I go to restaurants, which I can't now because we haven't got many open right now, but the waiter will usually say, you know, is there anything else I can get you? And I'll say, I'm looking for the meaning of life. And they quickly shuts it down. One man said, no, that's not on the menu today, sir. You know, have you found your meaning in life?
No.
Not yet.
I don't think I found a meaning of. Interesting enough, I was watching the Hollywood Reporter, The Roundtable, and the same question was asked to. There was Hugh Jackman, Chadwick Boseman, and a couple of other actors, and they all had that same kind of like, have we? Absolutely not. We think we did? Yes, we thought we did. Yeah. And as you move along, you know, my 20s, I thought I knew what life was and I was in control. And I was like, I'll do whatever I want.
Right.
And now that I'm, you know, as I said, like in my late 30s, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is good. This is a good part. I think I'm pretty good at living in the moment and doing what I want and seeing what results in that. And if that is, I've learned from my mistakes, I've made the same mistakes again. My grandmother always said, enjoy the finer things in life. When you can. and I love that because you can, something could happen to you tomorrow or you could lose a loved one. So, you know, I remember not really growing up telling my mum and dad that I love them. And I was like, why not? Why not just say I love you? And especially now, you know, over Zoom and FaceTime and on the phone, I try to say it all the time because I do. I love them.
Yes.
You know? And I love my friends and I tell them and I can hear it in some people's, you know, reactions. They're like, oh, like it is, we don't tell people enough that we love them.
Right, right.
And it's on every dimension. It doesn't have to be an emotional level. It's like, oh, I love you. And it's a romantic way. It's just, no, like, I love this. I love our conversation. You've invited me on this show and I love that we can connect on a very different level. This is more, you know, connecting and asking beautiful questions. So I love that. So I'm a very loving person. Yeah.
You know, Stephen, you're touching on something. You're young, but I lived through 9/11. I was in New York that day. And I love, if you listen to the recordings of people on those planes, or even those who were stuck in the tower, they immediately, the one thing they wanted to do was get to a phone to tell the people important to them, hey, I love you. And in some cases, probably they hadn't done it, but the realization that the end was coming, and you're saying, hey, we shouldn't need the end of life to be able to tell the people we love that we love them. And that's a great lesson. Stephen, I wanted to ask you too, because you're a theater guy, at least your background was, hopefully you're going much more into movies and TV, which is great, but how do you, when you guys are, let's say, in a Broadway-like production, and you're doing sometimes 6, 7, 8 shows a week, how in the world do you get up on the stage and make it fresh for people? Now, I took a kid last year to the theater, first time he'd ever been to a Broadway show, and he was mesmerized. But I thought to myself, I wonder how those guys on stage make it fresh for this kid. For him, it's the first experience, but for them, it's probably the 300th time they've sung the same song. How do you do that?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And I think that it takes, you really have to go to a very special place within yourself to be able to pace yourself each week and know that, you know, it is right that there is that someone going to the theater for the first time or someone has paid $150 or sometimes $300 for a ticket. Just one.
Right.
So you want to make that experience, you know, exactly the same time. And yes, there are days where you're going, okay, like I'm not feeling my A game, and I think you find that fine balance of, you may not, the audience may never know, but it's your your B plus kind of show, and then you've got your A show.
Right.
On a two show day, you know, you're up and you're really for 20, almost for 24 hours, just you're thinking about the show all the time. The down period, I guess, is where you have to find rest, eat properly, and just know that you have to be on for those next 3 hours. When you arrive at the theater, you just, okay, it's game day, and you have to just be ready. But yeah, like some days you just don't want to.
Yes.
Because it is hard. Like, and you, after, like you say, after 300 shows, or you've gone to the same theater, the same show, and you're like, this is a routine. It is about finding the balance and finding what excites you outside of life as well. Outside of the theater, because it can become quite consuming and all you're doing is the show. So for me, I love the water. So I love going to the beach and I love engaging and watching other films and trying to, on your day off, maybe go and watch something that inspires you and go, oh, that's a reminder. That's why I do it too.
Yeah. The first interview I did, Stephen, many years ago was with the film director, Frank Capra. And I said, what's your favorite film? And he said, I want to be remembered for It's a Wonderful Life. If I don't know if you've seen that one, but 1946, about what is the meaning of life. When you look back on these 38 years so far, is there a particular performance or thing you've done where you said, that's legacy stuff. That's not a bad thing to be remembered for.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great question. I think the real, when the effect that Jersey Boys had on Australian audience, and yeah, that feeling of meeting Bob Gaudio and then playing him through that sort of first couple of months, I just will never forget seeing a lot of men and a lot of older couples sort of coming up saying and are thanking us. Thank you for bringing back the memory. Thank you for giving us that chance to relive our youth. And that was great to know that, you know, a piece of theatre that I was doing was giving that response. You know, I'm sure there are shows that I've done and people have the same feeling, but that reaction, like people came to stage door and it was like, we were someone else. We were rock stars, you know, of that era. And I, you know, it was a really different effect. I remember I played my first role. It was Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Right.
And it was a school's performance at a very local theater. There was only 500 people in there, but I remember coming out for my bow for the first time. And the audience erupted in a way that I didn't expect. I didn't realize that would have that effect on the audience. And, you know, I just remember everyone going, wow, this is happening. I was like, yeah. You know, like you don't, that's not why you do it, but that you can affect someone with a show that that way. Yeah. So I think those two moments definitely stand out.
I promise one more question that is striking to me, and you may not be able to answer this, but it's worth asking anyway. Whether you know it or not, Stephen, you come across as the quintessential nice guy. There's a goodness about you, a niceness that's just very, very inviting. I mentioned that to you. Where does that come from in you? Is it family given? Is it just your nature? Is it inherent in who you are? You, and are you a nice guy?
I fooled you all. I definitely was taught to respect your elders. You know, you call your friends' parents by their last name, Mr. and Mrs. You know, Armstrong, you know, you always make sure if you're walking into your friend's door house. Say hello to the parents first.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It doesn't matter. And I kind of enjoyed that because the conversations that you were having with older people were more fascinating than with what I was engaging in, you know. And I think I just always took the time that, and yeah, it kind of, not a reward, but the kind of that effect that when you take time just to say, oh, hi, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they felt trusting in me, and that, those little lessons made me, I guess, probably made me a nice guy or approachable. I have been not a nice person. I've had I've definitely been.
Now, Stephen, this is not confession, Stephen. So,
sorry. it's too hard to be not a nice person. I think, you know, you're not going to get very far, especially in this industry, being not nice to people.
Yeah.
So, and I think innately we all are good people. I hope. I think we just, a lot of people have a lot of walls up, and or they've been treated a certain way and they don't feel like they've been seen. And I think I've always been seen. I'm 6'3", so I stand out like a sore thumb. But also, yeah, you know, like I just, it pays to be nice. Yeah. It's not hard. I don't have to search to be a nice person. It's just, you know, I love talking to people. I like, we'll see people walking down the street and I don't know. I'm like, oh, happy, what are we? Happy Friday. How are you going? People are like, oh, okay. Especially with, because I walk outside with a mask on and I forget. And you're like, oh, they can't see my face.
That's it. That's so right.
I wave to people now, and that's a bit weird for people. I think they're like, oh, you're just trying to.
Happily, you know, for you, Stephen, you have not just the smile, but your eyes smile, which is a great thing. So even with the mask, they're probably seeing the joy in you. I want to thank Steve May for being with us. He's a wonderful actor. During our show, Stephen, we have played a clip of you singing, so they know you can sing. He can dance. He can act. He can do it all. He's a multi-talented guy. But today we also got to hear the genuinely good, inherently nice man who loves his family, is grateful for what they taught him, tries to be polite to people and appreciate that all of us have a value. I just am so grateful for this silly young man for coming on our show and sharing the journey of an actor, but also who he is as a man, as a person, as a member of the human community. Stephen, thank you so much for being a guest on Personally Speaking.
Thanks for having me.
As we end today's program, I want to thank all of you for being with us. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send them to me through my website, which is www.closeencountertv.com. All one word, closeencountertv.com. To listen to our Personally Speaking podcast with some of our most recent shows, please go to YouTube and search under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti and subscribe. Personally Speaking is also available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and Spotify. You can also listen to past episodes by going to www.ollmp.org. Ollmp.org, and you get not only recent shows, but also Monsignor Jim's weekly homilies. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jadovitz, and thank you all so much for being with us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.